Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we have an open mic day. And you are more than welcome to call in and chat with me today at any time during this hour. And I will be giving you information about the guests that are going to be coming up in the rest of the week later on during the show. But today I decided I was just going to keep this a day where I would chat with you if that was something you wanted to do. Telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. That's 627-6008 with 888 in front of it. And all I need from you, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or your initial, and then relax. Let me tell you what I perceive for you in this new year of 2013. I wanted to start off today's show with a quote, and it is by P.W. Litchfield. And since we've got a brand new year in front of us, I thought it was especially significant. And this is what Mr. Litchfield said. One of the most hopeful portents of the times does not appear in any index of rising commodity prices, car loadings, bank deposits, or business volume, though it actuates all of them. It is the human factor, the stamina, the resourcefulness, the daring of those to whom business looks for leadership. If adversity puts business leadership to rigorous test, it also provided a rigorous course of training. If it took off the fat, it toughened the spirit. Now, this is something that whenever you really sit down and think about history, if ever you do any reading, which those of you that are regular listeners know that I do a great deal of reading, you'll find that for whatever reason, we seem to go through repetitive patterning. If you read about Roman history, you'll find that they had the same kind of messes we have. You read about French history. You read about German history, Italian history, African history. I mean, you can go anywhere on this planet, and you'll find just about everywhere the similar patternings evolve. Now, why do you think we don't learn from them? Well, it's my contention that the reason we don't learn is because every generation has to go through their own learning cycle. If they're wise enough to heed history, if they're taught history at all, or they're astute enough to be a good observer, hopefully they pull things together. But if you are disassociated and you absolutely have no clue as to what's going on in the past, then, well, you've got to reinvent the wheel all over again. At least that seems to be the case. And so many times people look at situations that they're in, wherever they might be on this planet, and think it's brand new. Not really. It seems to be a patterning with the human being that if they're not willing to learn from what has been done in the past, then they're going to have to repeat the experience, for whatever reason, again themselves, perhaps learning how to work with it differently. But usually, we are going to stand up to the test, typically. If we don't, well, we are going to pay the price. I was reviewing some material this morning, and it had to do with how many things in our environment, and I use the word things for a good reason, everything from cell phones to food to energy of different types that we're trying to develop. And in our world today, because of the advancement of technology, we've been able to access information that wasn't necessarily easily available to our ancestors. Although they might have been able to understand part of it, they really didn't have a comprehension level that we are capable of comprehending today. Technology is a great boon, but at the same time, it can be a very negative thing. And as research is coming out, we're discovering that so much of what we considered advancement actually is creating a very negative patterning in our environment. Now, we're in a fortunate positioning in our generation, and that is to do something about it. But as always, we're going to have to contend with those that say, well, I don't want it to change because it's going to affect me. And the reality is that sometimes when change comes in, if we work with the change in a positive way and not fear it, not be concerned that we're going to lose everything, not be fearful, but say, how can I take what needs to be changed and constructively adapt to what I really want that is going to be beneficial? How can we do this? We come out way ahead. Research, for example, on cell phones and the negative effect on the brain, on your skin, on your inner ear. All of this is well documented. Can we have a cell phone that is not going to create this kind of harm? Absolutely. But what it's going to take is the development of this by someone that says, you don't have to be concerned about this anymore because we've got X, Y, Z taken care of. Same thing with microwave ovens. The same thing with pesticides, with food. How can we create something different? When this is done, it creates what is described as a disruptive change. It's scary because there are people that will have invested in, let's say, the old way, but there is a better way. This is going to be an ongoing challenge always. When you're going through your life, maybe you've got a very, very bad situation in a relationship, and you're staying with it because you feel it's safer to stay with what you know, even though it's not unhealthy, or excuse me, it is unhealthy, and you know you need to step out of it. I can think of someone right now that has been over 30 years in a relationship that has been extremely toxic to this person. They have a chance to leave. They don't want to do it. They're hedging. They did it a number of years ago, repeatedly through the years. They've done this over and over again. Why? Because down deep, they feel safer with what they know, even though it is toxic to them. And this person has paid a huge, huge price physically. Huge price physically. So what is it we need to understand? First, you don't need to be afraid. Fear is a two-edged sword. It can either work for you or it can work against you. So as you go about this day, when you are looking at your life or you're discovering things that maybe you need to change in your lifestyle in some way, could be relationships, maybe it's your educational level, whatever it is, remember it is the human factor. It is what is inside of you that's speaking to you, that is saying, breathe, live, be unafraid. Know that you are going to be able to withstand these changes and you're going to be able to come forward in a stronger way. I think Mr. Litchfield said it very well, and I'll repeat it again from his quote. The human factor, the stamina, the resourcefulness, the daring of those to whom, and I'll change from business to others, look for leadership. Be a leader in your own life. Be a leader in your own world. You're the only one that can really change you. Nobody's going to be able to do that but you. So why not embrace it? Why not look at this opportunity of this new year that you've got to open up and expand yourself and to let go of what is not working for you and move towards what should be working for you. Make that investment in yourself. You know what? I think you're going to find yourself a much wealthier person because you have done exactly that. This is Donna Sebo. This is an open mic day. I am looking forward to chatting with you, and if you should decide you want to give me a buzz, the telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. Well, we've gone through a presidential inauguration. We've, you know, got all sorts of stuff on regarding the new political thing, but I just thought I'd share a little bit of trivia. Normally, I don't get in, I don't get into politics particularly. But I had to share something that I came across that just made me chuckle. There's a gentleman by the name of Thomas Marshall. He said, being vice president is comparable to a man in a cataleptic fit. He cannot speak, he cannot move, he suffers no pain, he is perfectly conscious of all that goes on, but has no part in it. That's the vice presidential positioning. And there is some little bit of trivia regarding vice presidents in general. The fact is, 9 of our 47 vice presidents inherited the presidency, 8 from a president's death, and 1 because our president Nixon quit. 7 vice presidents died in office, 2 vice presidents resigned. John C. Calhoun, he went to the Senate, and Spiro Agnew, he had to go into hiding. And there is some other trivia that I just had no idea about. History is really interesting. But who talks about the vice president? Well, not very much, unless you're Dan Quayle. That spelled potato wrong, according to some people. Anyway, George Clinton, yes, there was another Clinton. George Clinton was the first of 7 vice presidents to die in office, and this was in 1812. The second was Elbridge Gerry. He died in 1814. And he gave his name to the notorious and ongoing practice of gerrymandering. Heard that term? Mm-hmm. That was creating misshapen voting districts to ensure your party's victory. Both served under James Madison, president from 1809 to 1817. See, we've been dealing with corruption and all kinds of stuff for a long time. Look at New York, New Jersey, Chicago's history, Washington, D.C.'s history. Woo-hoo! It'll give you, I think, permanently white hairs. Not gray, but white hairs, the more you think about it. Richard Mentor Johnson, VP under Martin Van Buren, 1837 to 1841, he rose to political prominence partly because he had a reputation, and his reputation in that time period was for killing a Shawnee chief, Timkasey, in the War of 1812. However, his reputation got sullied big time. How did it happen? Well, he had a common law wife who had given birth to 2 daughters, and one was a light-skinned slave, Julia Chin. She died in the cholera epidemic of 1833, and her very existence, well, just evaporated. They hid all of the information about her during the time he was serving as vice president. However, they said as a positive note, he did deed all of his property to both of his daughters. He did not ignore her, and he made sure that both of the girls were well educated. And then Charles G. Dawes, the sole vice president to write a hit song. Mm-hmm. He wrote a musical hit, 1912 melody in A major, and it later became the song It's All in the Game. Someone put words to it. Tommy Edwards took the song to number 1 in 1958, 7 years after Charles Dawes' death. And then Theodore Roosevelt, boy, he was quite a guy. I mean, this guy had so much color to his life. He found the job of working with the Senate so tedious, boy, he'd recognize a lot of things that are going on today, that he often slept at his desk. This is what he said about the people in the Senate that he had to work with. He said, when they call the roll in the Senate, the senators do not know whether the answer should be present or not guilty. And I know, I mean, it is amazing stuff I came across. And then Alvin Barkley, I've never even heard of him, was vice president in 1949. Now, it was because of him the term the Veep was coined by him to by one of his relatives, actually, not by him. I have to correct myself. It was one of his relatives, and it was noted in the Oxford English Dictionary in 1945, and now a lot of people use it. Amazing history. I think it's fun, and it is more than fun. Remember what I said earlier? We seem to go through repetitive cycles over and over again. Well, it seems like when you get sleepy, when you doze, and you're not paying attention to what is going on, very easy to pass things by. But again, every generation has to go through its own learning curve. Talk to any family. You'll find that many people of the older generation are being totally ignored by the younger generation, because the younger generation thinks that they're moving faster and better and better, you know, able to do a lot of things that maybe grandma and grandpa can't do. But they forget grandma and grandpa have been around for a long time and have been on their own learning curve. And it might make their journey a little bit better if they would connect the dots with them, because it could save them a little bit of pain and suffering. Maybe not a whole bunch, but some. Walking for stroke recovery. We all know how important walking is. And the Europeans have been way ahead of us on this for a long time. I think also the people in New York. You know, in New York, you don't see, not that there are not obese people, but on average, a New Yorker walks about 5 miles a day. Why? Because it's a very compact area. And it's the same in many areas of Europe. You are in a relatively compact area. Transportation is much different. You're not spread out like you are in the Pacific Northwest or Los Angeles. And you can go from point A to point B relatively easily. You can walk. It's not unusual. Well, here in America, we used to do that. People used to have their communities, and individuals rarely went more than 75 miles away from home. I mean, if you went 75 miles on a trip, that was a big deal. Well, once the car came around, then you wanted to go from point A to point B a lot more quickly, and it created massive change in life. And today, we're sitting a lot more. We're not walking to the store. We're not carrying our groceries. We drive to the store. I know I do, and it's all a matter of utilizing time more efficiently and more effectively. However, more and more research is coming out that the more you use your body, especially as you get older, the healthier you're going to be. I have a very good friend who went to Italy, and she sort of had an apple kind of figure, and she said she dropped 2 dress sizes in the 2 weeks that she was over there, because when she was visiting with relatives in Italy, they had to go to the store on a regular basis. And she said, we walked everywhere. We'd walk to the shop. So she was putting in a lot of miles. She was getting exercises. She still ate heartily. But she said, I was finding my clothes by the time we finished visiting. They were loose on me. I was amazed. She said, I was thrilled. Come home, get back to the old routine. And she exercised very, very little. Bingo. She filled out what was loose on her when she left. Well, they're finding people with strokes, the best thing that they can do is walk. There was a small pilot study that they said, if you have good walking shoes on, you are going to be able to assist your physical therapy by walking. Not only that, but when people have a stroke, usually it affects one side or the other. And when they wear an insole under the heel on their unaffected side, they're able to walk faster, about 30% faster, and can bear more weight on their weakened side after just 2 weeks. Now, here's something very subtle, something that's put in the shoe, and this, again, is for stroke victims particularly. They say the improvement in the stroke victims is awesome just by that one little item of change inside of a shoe. And they say the foam insole helps shift the patient's weight to his or her weaker side, enabling them to gain balance, enabling them to gain strength. And think of the effect that it has on the brain, because the brain will compensate. Stroke victims can learn to bring everything back to balance. And what they've learned, and I was fascinated to watch a program on this, this is a couple of years ago, where two men who had been, each of them respectively, one from a stroke, literally paralyzed on the left side, the other one is paralyzed on the right side. Most of these people have been very physically active. And what they would do, they would tie the arm on the side of the body that was not affected down and force them to use the arm, the side of the body that had been affected. The result was, within a year, both of these men were back to normal condition. Now, what goes on here? It's a retraining of the brain, and that is so significant, and we need to remember that. That's one of the reasons why I like TTAP so much. TTAP's a program, and we'll be having Teresa Tapp on again, but she has been working with researchers, and they have found that the exercise program that she has developed works both sides of the brain, enables balance, strength, and stamina for anyone of any age. Why? You've got to use it. The adage, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it, is not a joke. It's really true. So that's just a little bit of information on the world of medicine. And I'm going to have got some other things for you as well. But I wanted to share that because I am finding that there are so many conversations that are coming both in the counseling sessions that I do and in different things, in different environments that I'm finding myself in, and people having challenges and with family members and not quite knowing what to do. And sometimes there can be a resolution. It can be an easy resolution. But keeping physically active is so important. Being a couch potato, not a good thing. I wanted to share with you some information today also. By the way, this is on Open Mic Day. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. And I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little insight. Oh, and I want to mention, I have a trip to California. I'm going to be in Santa Barbara as well as the Los Angeles Glendale area. The trip is scheduled for February the 4th. I'll be in California through the 9th. I'm also going to be available for private appointments. I'm going to be appearing on a particular radio show. I'm going to be sending out a mailing to people on my mailing list. Plus, also, I will be putting it in an email blast and my newsletter, my upcoming newsletter. So if you want information on that, you'd like to know how to be in touch with me, all you have to do is give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. Again, Southern California trip coming up, and this could be an opportunity for you to meet with me in person or even chat with me by phone, whatever you prefer. So call my office for more information, 253-582-5604. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we had, in November of 1965, an experience that I was unaware of. What happened? Well, 30 million people in 8 states and the Canadian province of Ontario, well, history was made. Not that anybody really wanted to make history with this experience, but it happened regardless. It was about 5:16 in the evening, and it was, you know, rush hour in New York City, and by golly, New York City and other areas went dark. Big blackout. No, I said northwest. I was wrong. This is a northeast blackout, not northwest blackout. But it is something that when it happened, it traumatized 30 million people. They were trapped, elevators, freeways, skyscrapers. It was at this time when the development of backup generators really became a big, big thing. At the time that this occurred in 1965, hardly anybody had backup generators. Nobody gave thought to the fact that this is something that could happen to them. Now, of course, after this big blackout on November the 9th, 1965, and again, I misquoted, it was not the Northwest, it's the Northeast, there was a substation in Syracuse, New York, but they found that it was in absolutely perfect order. Kept checking. You can imagine the frenzy going on. 30 million people without any power. They found a backup relay in one of the six lines connecting the Sir Adam Beck No. 2 generating station just north of Niagara Falls in Ontario. Now, there had been this phenomenal surge of energy. It caused a circuit breaker to trip. The cutoff power then rippled outward, tripping all kinds of circuit breakers, and within seconds, they experienced a tidal wave of electricity that closed down the entire grid of 30 interconnected power stations. Now, the power was out in some areas for 3 hours. New York City had no power until the next morning. And, of course, media was focusing on all the human interest stories. Nobody was talking about what was the cause of this. They didn't know. Now, there was something going on, and this was noted later. There was a large amount of UFO activity from a number of different sources. We're not talking about people out in the middle of Idaho talking about something that was flying in the sky. These were reputable sources, and they said UFOs were seen prior to and during this huge blackout. And one UFO was observed near a Niagara Falls power plant. Now, all of these stories were ignored after they found that the broken relay backup was the cause. But they still, to this day, have no idea where the sudden surge of power came from. And from that experience in 1965, there has been the awareness that we really have to have backup systems in place. And the grid today is so much more sophisticated. And here in the Pacific Northwest, we had some real interesting experiences just last week. And I was experiencing something yesterday in my office. And it was an energy surge from somewhere. And you know, electrical energy, you're not going to see it unless it's in the form of lightning. But we have so much energy transference that's occurring at all times, be it cell phones, wireless towers. We have all kinds of computer equipment that's around us. And I know yesterday there was all of this stuff that was going on. My phone wasn't operating properly. It was very, very strange. And I said to my husband, I wonder what is happening in the area. Sometimes it can be caused by sunspots. I've known people up in Alaska that have said sunspots cause havoc with the radio systems up there. They have to be on guard on a consistent basis because you just don't know when you're going to have that interference. A little bit of trivia there. Oh, by the way, I've got a recipe I'm going to share with you with Tex-Mex and cheese. Yes, if you're a cheese lover, I think you're going to really enjoy this. And we've got some other information I'm going to share. Phone lines are open. This is an open mic day, 888-627-6008. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I'm so delighted you're sharing this time with me. And I want you to know we have an open mic day here. Toll-free telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I'm coming up with a trip to California, Southern California, on the 4th of February. And I came across this cartoon that I just loved. It shows this very, very nice ticket attendant for an airline standing behind the counter, and she's taking the ticket from a couple, and she's giving them all of the information. She said, you need to know there's an added luggage handling fee for not losing any luggage. And I thought, oh, please, are we getting to this state? I just have to chuckle. I can remember a time of flying when they had blankets and people would complain about the meals served on the plane. Well, of course, that's not existent now. And I just laugh at the changes that I see with traveling. And now we're charged. And when I saw this cartoon, I said, oh, I just have to share it. Change. It sounds sort of silly, but it really isn't. I mean, there are just all kinds of things that are coming up. Who knows? I'm waiting for the transport system like they have on Star Trek, where you beam from one point to another. You don't need to worry about the luggage. Or you can beam the luggage, too. Just disassemble those little molecules and let them float to wherever they're supposed to go. Boy, won't that make a difference. Emma Payne has a little comment. She's got this delightful little poem about the month of January, which I just thought was fabulous. And with this little commentary is this lovely, lovely photograph of a winter moon shining over a snowscape. It reminds me of Alaska. Of course, those of you that listen to the show know that I have had a love affair with Alaska for a lot of years. To me, it's just a magical, powerful, powerful place. And this is what Emma said. January dreams its heart in snow, twirling, swirling, off the flakes go, powdering the earth in white on this sparkling winter's night. Ah, so magical. Absolutely magical. Okay, I want to let you know about the guests that we've got during the remaining part of the week. Tomorrow, do you think you need to reconstruct some attitude for 2013? Well, Jude Bijou is going to give us some insights on how to do that. Her book, Attitude Reconstruction. I think we're going to have a fun time with Jude, and then vampires, ah, yes. My goodness, they're popular today. I can remember there was a time when you never talked about vampires, but oh, my goodness, look at how many movies, how many shows go on and on and on about this. It is a time that they have got center stage in the minds of a lot of young people. Vampires in the U.S., Bob Coran. This man is wonderful. Bob has been on my show before, and he is a historian, and boy, he digs up some of the best stuff regarding these various components that occupy the psyche, especially if you're into horror films and things like this. That's not my gig, but vampires, well, they've got a persona all of their own, and believe it or not, there's a lot of fascinating history regarding them in the United States. Who knew? Well, Bob is going to share that with us. And then Brian Gast is going to be on the air with me on Friday. We're going to be talking about the business of wanting more. I have to tell you, when I heard that title, I thought, oh my goodness, wanting more? Is this all about getting more stuff? No, it definitely is not. It is a book about empowering yourself as a person. And Brian has put together a marvelous publication. So these are the people that are going to be sharing airtime with me and you. So I do hope you'll tell your friends and join us. Okay, have you got that pad of paper and pen handy? I want to share this Tex-Mex mac and cheese. And oh, it's so good. Now, this is sort of an adult recipe because it's got a spiciness to it. But if you wanted to tone it down, all you would have to do is, and I'll share with you the one ingredient that you can change if you want, actually two, and use whatever you like. But this is a rock-solid mac and cheese recipe that will be a kid pleaser, and it will be for adult taste buds, just a wow sensation. It would go great with meat. It's a meal in and of itself, served with a salad. So however you'd want to present it, but it is a staple that is just something that's flavorful. And I don't know about you, but I like spice. I like spices. I like tasty food. I like flavorful food. I have turmeric on my scrambled eggs in the morning. So this is something I like to use spices. This is really good. Here you go. You're going to need 2 cups of heavy cream, 2 cups of heavy cream, 1 cup of milk. And you want to use whole milk, not nonfat milk. Remember, during winter months, especially if you're active, fat is not a bad thing. We have gotten into this stuff of eliminating all fat out of the diet. It is not healthy. This is something you don't need to eat the whole plate of or the whole dish of food, just an average portion. It's not going to put pounds on you. Just remember that. You're going to need 1/4 pound of shredded sharp cheddar cheese. And if you like extra sharp cheddar, that's even better. 1/4 pound of shredded sharp cheddar cheese. If you don't like sharp, you know, use the mild or medium. 1/4 pound of shredded pepper jack cheese. Now, this is spicy and something that's very, very good. 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 4 teaspoons of butter, 4 teaspoons of butter, 1/3 cup of flour, 2 tablespoons of roasted, peeled, and chopped poblano peppers. 2 tablespoons of roasted, peeled, and chopped poblano peppers, 1 pound of your favorite macaroni, cooked according to your package direction. Use whatever kind of macaroni you want. So again, 2 cups of heavy cream, 1 cup of milk, 1/4 pound of shredded sharp cheese, 1/4 pound of shredded pepper jack cheese, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 4 teaspoons of butter, 1/4 cup of flour, 2 tablespoons of roasted, peeled, and chopped poblano peppers, and 1 pound of cooked macaroni. Now, this is how simple it is. Your cream, milk, cheeses, and the little tiny bit of salt, put it in the top of a double boiler. And you want to heat it until the cheese melts and begins to form a light skin. You want to put your butter in a small skillet over medium heat, stir in your flour, cook for about 4 minutes. You don't let it brown, though. Don't let it brown. You then add your flour mixture to your cheese mixture a little at a time. Whisk it until it's smooth. And if it's not really smooth, you can do 1 of 2 things. You can use an immersion blender so that it just blends it. I think those are one of the best inventions around. Or regular blender. Put it in a blender, zap it. But that immersion blender, it's fabulous if you find that you're not really doing it all that well. Simmer the sauce for about 15 minutes, strain it, remove it from the heat, and then you are going to add your poblano peppers, mix it with your macaroni. You've got 6 servings there. Now, if you want it spicier, you can add cayenne, touch of cayenne, or more of the peppers. If you don't want it spicy, then what you do is use your mild green chili peppers. You can roast those. You can get them canned. Just make sure you drain them because they will add extra moisture. But your cheeses, you can substitute with whatever you want. This is sweet, simple, easy, and it's ready to go. And if you want, you can put it in a casserole dish. Keep it warm until you finish whatever else you've got with your meal. Real simple, recipe, and it travels. Eats so nicely. If you're going to be doing a potluck, you got a winning proposition here. People will love this. But again, you can adapt the recipe in any way, shape, or form. Now, I was talking earlier about walking. And again, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. I came across a survey, and they say how you walk says a lot about you. Have you ever sat in a mall and just watched people? It's fascinating. You can do your own research, study, watch them. What do you think about them as you're watching them move around? Well, you can use your imagination. It's absolutely fascinating. But researchers decided they were going to take it even further than just being an observer in a shopping mall. And this was done at England's Durham University. They found it tells a lot about people. Now, what if you are sort of an easy-going walker? You're just sort of a slow person when you walk. Well, they find usually when people walk real slowly, they're thinkers. And it's not because they're handicapped or they're physically not able to do it. That's a big difference. But when you take your time when you're walking, you are in your head. You're walking, your brain is trying to solve solutions. Or maybe you're trying to figure out, is there a way I can make this walk shorter? I don't know. But you have a capacity for being so creative, problem solving when you're walking. Actually, is very good for you because it allows you to have a creativity flow that otherwise wouldn't be there. Now, if you've got a light and a kind of buoyant walk, you are a person that really is very optimistic. You typically have a very happy attitude, and you move your body like you're moving to a song, an upbeat piece of music. And you really enjoy being around people, and people automatically feel that you're this type of person that they would like to talk to. They really know that you are someone that they can relate to. Now, if you're the type of person that takes little tiny steps, and you're sort of, you just don't want to be intrusive into anything, you just have these little tiny steps that you take, and you're not a geisha walking on those wooden platform shoes either. It's just something you do naturally. Well, it means that you're sort of shy. And you are a person that is very, very introspective. And you are very detail-oriented. You plan things. And you're very, very conservative in your energy. Now, what if you're a fast-paced walker? Man, people see you moving. And I've got a neighbor who's that way. Man, she gets out there, and you feel like she's training for the Olympics. This energy is going. Her short legs are moving, and she's right there. I mean, she does a mile in less than 15 minutes. Power walking is a term that we like to associate with that kind of person. Well, that individual typically is a leader, and it's confidence. You'll see those people often with their heads up. Their shoulders are back. They've just got this stride, and they're moving. Well, you are a decisive individual. You know where you're going, and by golly, they said leadership is not only in your soul, but it's a reflection in the way you walk. People know that when you speak, they're going to want to listen because you have this presence about yourself. Now, if you have a long and fluid stride, like the stride of a dancer. Well, and you're swinging your arms from side to side as you walk, shows confidence. That's right. And the more space you take up when you walk, the more self-assured the individual seems to be, at least in this evaluation at England's Durham University. And they said it's an alpha, but you like working with teams. You really like to be there to work with people and to assist. Who knew that walking could tell so much? The next time you're at the mall, why don't you check some people out and see if you'd concur with this study that was done. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about sound healing because it is something that very definitely does make a difference. I also have something that I want to share about individuals, an individual, and how they make a difference. You will hear me talking about these stories of real people in the real world. They're not going to be read about in People magazine. They're not going to be getting any acclaim necessarily from media because they're not sensationalists. They're people that are out doing what they feel they need to do. And the fascinating part, and I just love this, is that they're making a difference. And I absolutely love to talk about people like this because so many times we may feel that what our life represents just doesn't make that much difference. And we don't realize how who we are at any given moment can have a tremendous effect on someone. The sound of your voice, your smile, your thoughtfulness, your caring, your clarity, maybe, in seeing how something needs to be taken care of. Who you are as a person makes a great deal of difference. And I'm, when we come back, I'm going to be sharing a story about a guy, Gary LeBlanc, how he made a difference in the lives of 50,000 people after Hurricane Sandy. 50,000 people. Don't ever think you can't touch that many yourself. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Quick like a bunny, I had this cross my desk, this information, and I wanted to share this with you. Traveling as I do, and my schedule is going to be getting busier, but I'm so aware of all kinds of stuff going on with credit cards. And we all know that if there's any kind of a challenge with a credit card, all you need to do is call your credit card company. They will reissue a new card for you so that your security is not compromised. And I have done this, actually, I had to do it twice last year, believe it or not. And I just really get sort of frustrated. I think, why is it that people work so hard at creating so much corruptive situation that we have to go through this kind of nonsense? Oh, well, that's just the way life is, I guess, in this world that we live in. But there's a new credit card scam that is going on, and it is when you get a phone call to lower your credit card interest rate for a fee. Don't buy into it. This is a huge scam. They have no power to reduce a credit card interest rate. They'll take your money, yes they will, and run. So, if you want to lower your credit card rating, all you need to do is to call your credit card company directly, get in touch with them, and find out if they can cut your rate. Also, what you're going to want to do And this is a site I didn't know anything about. And it's called nerdwallet.com. That's nerdwallet.com to find a credit card that is going to lower your rate on your card. So that is just something that I want to share with you quickly. All right, this is some information on healing with sound, and I have so many papers in front of me that I am looking right now for a piece of information that I misplaced, and as soon as I find it, I'm going to share it. But anyway, healing with music. This is something that I think we need to be more aware of, and the reason is that sound makes a difference. Now, we're going to have a guest next month. His name is Jonathan Goldman. You may be familiar with Jonathan. He is a phenomenal, phenomenal man when it comes to understanding how to use tones to create relaxation. He's been recognized internationally for his work. So this is something we're going to be discussing next month on the show. And keeping blues away, you can use music to do this. Now, this is something that I wouldn't have thought of, but it makes sense when you think about it. And they say if you have an iPod, you can utilize this. And they have found in Finland when they were evaluating use of sound and affecting the brain, they say improvised music, like playing the drums without even knowing what you're doing, gets rid of depression. The joy that comes from being spontaneous crowds out, you know, sad thoughts. Well, all you have to do to create a similar effect, if you have an iPod, put your music on a random shuffle and just let it choose music from whatever your collection is, because it keeps the brain alert. Your brain is attentive to the music, and that is going to create a shift in your thinking. And if you have a wide variety of music, from classic to pop to rock, the more diverse your tunes, the more mood bursting that they are. So if you're trying to break out of a depression, use music. Put it on a shuffle. If you're trying to figure out how you're going to get yourself motivated to get moving, use music. Now, I didn't think about it relative to losing weight, but you can have what they call a slimming playlist. And when people are exercising to music, and I don't think this is any great big discovery, they burn more calories and feel better about their workouts. And it's dance music with 120 to 140 beats per minute. You can use the music for stress and also alleviating pain. It causes a shift in the brain. It causes the brain to create chemicals. Well, I wanted to share with you this story about Gary LeBlanc. This man affected the lives of 50,000 people. Now, when he, like millions of us, found out that 90-mile-per-hour winds, the biggest hurricane to ever form in the Atlantic Ocean, were going to hit New York, and when we were watching it happening, he said to his wife, he said, "I'm going to help." Now, this is what had happened to his family when Hurricane Katrina hit. His daughter lost her home in New Orleans. And there was an organization that was founded by professional chefs. It's called Mercy Chefs, an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that provides nourishing meals to people in disaster areas. Well, when he saw, one, a storm was coming in, two, the area that was going to be slammed, he stocked his specially designed mobile kitchens and got in contact to the nationwide network of volunteers from all over the food industry. People said, "We're with you. We know with you. We've been watching the same stuff. Count us in." They were all going to give up time on their jobs, get away from their families. They were going to be a part of the team to help the people that they knew were going to be really hit. Now, he and his team got there right after the storm slammed through New York. He said, "Oh my goodness, Let's get moving. Within hours after they arrived, pots of chili were simmering on their stoves in their mobile units. They were fixing barbecue chicken and brisket with biscuits, green beans, peach cobblers. People were lining up for food. They had no way of getting food other than this. Gary and all of the wonderful people that volunteered fed lunch and dinner to as many as 50,000 people across Lower Manhattan, Staten Island, and Coney Island. And he said what he observed was phenomenal. These people were not rude. People were thoughtful. There were teenagers that were asking for plates of food and bottled water for elderly or disabled who couldn't get out of their buildings. First responders and volunteers that were helping. Other people were going to the mobile kitchens and saying, I will need to take this food back for them. Gary said, I have never, ever experienced such a coming together of people as these people. They looked out for each other. And the New Yorkers were very grateful to him. This is what Gary said. It's what we're meant to do when times are tough, come together and help each other. Sharing meals with people can be an incredible thing. It doesn't only feed your body, it feeds your soul. Getting to help so many New Yorkers certainly warmed mine. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Feed your soul. Feed your space with the brightness and joy of who you are. Have a magnificent day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.